Welcome back once again to the Quality Time Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Eric Mello T. Woodworth, and you're joining us once again on NPR, where in this episode we're just going to quietly sit and read books, and all you will hear for an hour is the sound of turning pages very softly and gently while I pretend to read, even though I never learned as a child. But I think the idea of just looking at a book sometimes can give you the information that you need. I really enjoy illustrations more than anything else. We have a guest in Eric Joliker. He joins us once again today. If you could do us a favor, when you're on the iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a 5-star rating. It really helps us out. Means the absolute world to us. Costs you absolutely nothing. Also, donate to our fundraising drive. With a purchase of $50, you too can own a part of the magic of the Quality Time Podcast. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11,
and get ready for Bloodsport.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
The German underground beer drinking tournament, I think, is more likely and more accurate than the Bloodsport tournament.
Yeah.
The Das Boot, far more believable.
I mean, the bottom line is that imagine you're Frank Dukes, okay? Imagine you're Frank Dukes, and that not only did you invent a new karate style, doesn't exist and not effective in practical terms, but you also invented that you were a Navy SEAL, that you worked for the CIA, and you invented the word kumite, which was a fight that you're gonna have right now. So I just, oh God, it's so ridiculous. Welcome back to Quality Time, everybody.
I think whichever nationality either won the kumite had to either be the ruler over Japan or China.
That is true. That is true.
Because of that fight.
I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and I'm joined by none other than my blood, my brother, the man who's talking right now, Jeremy P. Woodworth.
Who are you talking about?
I'm sorry, who's joining us on the show this
evening? It is me, Chun-Li.
Chun-Chong-Li. Oh, it's Chong-Li.
Whoever has the airliner that puts down Indiana Jones. He never makes it to his destination.
I like that we need to voice you over for this whole segment.
Oh, what are sorry, you talking about? Lao Chang.
You want a little bit of me? So. Hey, do that right now. we're also joined by none other than Big Time in Comedy Zone, star of the podcast Paco's Got Balls, none other than Eric Jocelyn. Jocelyn, how are you doing, sir?
Je le cas, I'm doing well. What is the word? Une animal de compagnie.
Yay!
Goddamn Frenchman.
Which roughly translate to...
Which in Canadian means...
I'm a chia pet.
Yes.
There's only one Frenchman I like.
By the way...
And those are the ones that kill animals up in Canada.
Animals, but they're not in Canada.
I know we didn't mention this last episode. I know we didn't mention this last episode, Eric, but happy birthday. Congratulations.
Thank you.
By the time you guys are listening to it, his birthday has already passed.
Long gone.
It's actually tomorrow.
Happy 45.
The way the release date works, this is, hell yeah, dude, 39 years young.
39, yeah.
39, don't call her a whore. She's my 39 lover.
How does it feel? Does it feel like 38 or?
It feels the same. It's all a mental thing.
Now that you're living in your 40th year, what does that feel like?
That's the scariest part, I think. It's to know when I was just a wee tyke, I remember when my old man, my dad, turned 40, and it was just like,
Wow, that's old.
Yeah. 40 is old, right? Like 30 is like, I'm an adult. Yeah. I have things. I have a 401k. But 40 is like, holy shit. It's, so you're like, now I'm officially, now you're counting down the times to death at this point.
Well,
right?
it's before you've had all of these things ahead of you. And you're like, well, at least I'm not 40 yet. Well, now I'm like, fuck. Now I'm 40. What am I going to do? Where have I come to? And that's one of the jokes that I've started doing is I talk about with the stand-up. One of my jokes is I'm looking for some levels of success in my life, and I need something tangible. And I was at a comedy show, and some asshole in the front row goes, well, your bank account. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. Not what I was talking about. But yeah, my success is denim. It's jeans, my stack of jeans, you know?
You got to have good jeans. You know what I just bought?
Do you keep them on the little slides inside your air conditioner?
Yeah, I do. That's how I dry them. It makes them real stiff.
Yeah. I have a collection of jeans as well.
You know what I just brought back? Because I am I'm fully at the point now where I'm embarrassing dad mode. I have two children.
Oh, yeah.
Formative children are reaching. My daughter's reaching her, is living in her ninth year of age. My other one's living in her fifth year of age right now. And I've become fully, let's be embarrassing dad. I've grown a mullet.
Uh-huh.
I bought stonewashed denim jeans for the first time in my life. I'm bringing back stonewash. I have 80s sunglasses. Everything that could be embarrassing as an adult, I now own. So I'm very excited to do that. Now, Eric, you have two children yourself.
I do.
What do you do to embarrass your children?
Well, my kids...
Are your kids at embarrassment level yet?
No, they're doing the embarrassing of me. They're 2 and 4, so... the 4-year-old is starting to get to that getting embarrassed phase, but it's more like joking, like, Dad, you're embarrassing. You know, like, it's funny. It's not actual embarrassment yet. But I'm definitely finding ways. I'm finding ways to be the annoying, irritating dad that just, you know, I don't know. They just keep saying, Dad. And the other day I was in the truck and I just lost it in my definition of losing it. I was just like, What? And I finally my oldest one was starting to get pissed off at me. She's like, Dad, stop it. And I'm like, now you know what it feels like to be me.
Yeah. Do you want to know how I combat my kids? Like, my kids, usually around when I pick them up at the end of the workday, they're at an ornery level 10. They're at each other's throats. There's fights in the 10-minute drive we need to go home.
Yeah.
So what I've resorted to is that I play the louder that they get and the more that they fight, the louder death metal music goes in my car until it is like the way the anger goes. I turn up death metal. I play, and it's not even a good album. There's an album that's stuck in my CD player in my car. Okay, I can't get it out, and it's it's Metallica.
Is it Pile Driver?
No, it's not even a good album. It's Metallica's Death Magnetic, which is not their strongest, not their strongest album. And I turn that up to fucking million.
11.
That's like, Daddy, turn it down. Are you done fighting?
Yeah.
Are you done fighting?
Because
it can go off if we're done fighting. Otherwise, we're going to listen to fucking death metal for the next 10 minutes.
Have you ever heard of Pile Driver?
No. I've heard of it, but I haven't heard it.
Here's two of their best songs. One is called Death by Guillotine.
Okay.
Wow.
Or my other favorite is... Sex with Satan, excommunication.
Hell yeah.
Sex with Satan, excommunication.
And your third favorite is Circumcisions Are Us. No, I do country music. I blare country music.
Oh, that's a good thing. Because girls generally, you have two girls.
I do have two girls.
Girls will like that, though. Like, well, girls into death metal is different.
They don't like loud noises, and they don't like competition for airspace.
That
so
is true.
It's, you know, you want to cry? We'll just listen to. We'll listen to, you know, some Thomas Rhett. You know,
up, got the
little Eric Church. just we'll jam some Eric Church.
Can
you
I
know?
Tell you about my relationship with my kids?
All right.
Yeah, please.
Because things and when I say kids. My kids, I don't mean the proverbial my kids.
Yeah.
But,
there are other
know,
people's children so, that yeah. he has locked in his basement because Jeremy is
could,
a monster.
I can't have kids with my own wife because she won't have sex with me.
Her womb is so polluted.
Matt Cannon chimed in. He said, I play wrestling entrances when mine fight.
Hell yeah. Now, fuck yeah, dude.
Now, he has two boys. But
oh,
I
the
thought
Cannon Boys, shout out.
The Cannon Boys. But I thought boys played rough as fuck, but my yeah. girls, like, they, like, elbow drop each other.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they play hard.
I'm going to wait till your mother comes home, and she's going to have to figure out yeah, how to deal with this situation.
I can barely deal with, like, the when the shit goes up the front of the diaper.
Yeah, that's already a lot. That's already a lot.
Way more and way far further than my job description I ever thought, you know, growing up to being 39.
Can I tell you how I handled shit up a diaper situation? Huh. I would draw a bath and get, like a 2 inches of bath drawn, and then I would just, like, dip them in and just go
back and forth.
Just, like, you let the water do the action. Yeah. I was just this works. This is how people do it. Right?
So, well, see, and that's a sound approach. I went to the next level. I said, all right, well, we have the shower head that you can detach and like mm-hmm. just, it's like hosing them off, you know?
Yeah, that makes
and,
sense.
And, yeah, I've started to find out that they're getting aroused from this, and I'm like,
oh,
I
Jesus
can't
Christ.
Just fucking. They're like, oh, that tickles daddy. I'm like, all right, everybody out of the tub.
Yeah. Hey, good parenting tips from the Quality Time Podcast.
Hey, so, any
time. We do parties, too.
I've got so much more.
So, should we pick up right where we left off, boys?
We should.
So, last episode, we started the movie Bloodsport, 1988, Jean-Claude Van Damme, the true life story of Frank Dukes.
Otherwise known as Johnny Cage.
Who we've already established, huge piece of shit, total liar, means nothing to this. But at the same time, we're the movie podcast that talks about the significance of this film. A lot of good things came from it. We got the movie Lionheart after this. But most importantly, it inspired the game series Mortal Kombat, which I think, God damn it, has probably been more profound of an influence on American society than most things in the video game world that I can even speak of. I mean, I just saw Tommy Cimbazzo today. Tommy Cimbazzo has a scorpion-faced helmet that he wears when he rides his motorcycle
Where did you see Tommy?
We had a murder mystery rehearsal today.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we were working.
And he has a motorcycle now?
Yeah, he's had a motorcycle for some time, but now he's got it fixed back up.
Oh.
So, of course it's steampunk. It looks
it
like
runs
it's
on steam.
It looks like it's straight out of fucking Wild Wild West.
Please tell me like that it shoots fireballs from the front.
It doesn't, but he's working on the mods.
I feel like it looks if a dick were to have bones in it. Like the skeleton of a dick.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what it would look like.
That makes sense.
Like Tommy riding a giant skeleton
dick. Like H.R. Geiger, hey. But more erotic.
Yes.
Hey, this is the first dick I've ever ridden. Okay, yay, boys. We've already introduced within the movie itself, the movie proper, Frank Dukes, who has already escaped the confines of his rigid military job so that he can go to Hong Kong and fight in the Kumite, which is a full contact karate sport that he's about to get into. So Dukes gets away after he leaves his military installation base and goes to talk to his sensei, Master Tanaka. From there we get to see his backstory as he's sitting in the house of his childhood sensei, and we get to see him get caught stealing a martial arts katana sword.
Can we discuss what he was called right around this time frame in the movie?
Well, let me play this audio clip real quick. I got a little audio clip leading up of him stealing the katana sword.
Okay.
And we also get to learn about the phrase martial science.
Okay.
You cannot get katana sword by stealing.
So he walks in and tries to steal a katana sword
from
local kids.
He doesn't walk in. He climbs through a window.
That wasn't there.
His future sensei Tanaka, his son comes over and fucking roundhouse kicks him to the solar plexus. He gets knocked to the ground and his sensei tells him, you cannot steal a katana sword.
It is a very special sword. You must earn it.
I wasn't going to steal it.
By the way,
there
I like...
There goes his hat brim.
Okay, so he chops his hat brim off with the katana sword.
Oh, it's great. Giants. It was a giant's hat,
yeah,
too.
A giant's hat, and he doesn't flinch. No, it was San Francisco Giants.
San Francisco Giants.
San Francisco
not,
Giants.
Yeah, not New York
but he's
Giants.
Also wearing a New York Giants jersey, which
yeah.
makes no,
no
sense.
No sense whatsoever.
You're,
so fucking
you're
ever.
In California. You don't support the New York Giants.
No.
Oh, you either support San Francisco Giants or the New York Giants. Not
yeah,
both. That
no,
makes
no
sense
no.
at all. So he chops that off. It's also funny to believe that Frank Dukes is an American man, but they picked Jean-Claude Van Damme, and they also went full, I give it to Canon Films, they picked another weird French boy to play young JCVD.
Who I think is, I think is legally fucking retarded, by
yeah,
the way.
Yes, yes, he's like, what do you mean this is?
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm trying to remember my lines.
Let me see if I pulled this audio about what Tanaka then says after he chops the brim of Frank Dukes's, young Frank Dukes's hat off.
And young Frank Dukes looks nothing like, I mean nothing like the older Frank Dukes.
Yes, he doesn't.
I'm sorry, I totally interrupted your
okay,
sound
here, let's hear the sound bed right here.
You have fighting spirit.
You're not gonna call the cops?
Not
so he mentions that he doesn't flinch during this. He's like, you have fighting spirit because you didn't flinch. Not to mention, he's probably just a retarded
just
boy,
retarded,
right? Like, there's just
retarded.
Like, I just didn't see that you flashed a sword in front. I literally blinked a minute before and I just didn't need to blink again.
Yeah, I blinked and didn't see it happen. And by the way, I'm trying to struggle to make my English lines.
So Tanaka then goes, sees that he has a fighting spirit. So he goes to talk to Frank Dukes's parents.
What kind of a deal?
Your son and my son are in the same school.
They like each
Frank
other.
Frank sees my son's skill.
He likes his skills.
He desires to learn martial science too.
Wait a minute, Marshall. Wait a minute, martial science? Is this a phrase that we just made up? And yes, that
yes,
is correct.
It
is made up for this movie.
And shocker, they're like, what?
Wait.
We are building a force of extraordinary magnitude.
So let's hear more about Tanaka talking to Frank Dukes' parents.
I much on science.
Frank's tell me you came to America to grow vine.
Yes, that's right. I work at the Verne Vineyard.
I came here to grow fish in my hatchery.
Grow fish?
We both grow children.
Boy.
You use science to make vines grow better. Like vines, children need training. Martial science provide a way of training. Brings mind, body, spirit together.
Okay, so...
can I just say, I was reeling to keep up during this period. Like, I am like, what the fuck is happening? I'm too occupied by all the other creepy things going down.
Right, and right, right.
Why should I like, give him back to you?
Like, wasn't there some guy back in the 90s that totally... he manipulated parents into being able to take their child.
Yeah, yeah. Like his name was Jerry Sandusky. I'm going to teach him football science.
Well, I don't remember the name of this guy, but he literally gave the father a blowjob and used that as blackmail. And then he slept with the wife and used that as blackmail to be able to... abduct their child.
No, it's a Netflix documentary.
Yes,
that's so fucking
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
Yes. That guy is fucking ridiculous.
Right.
Oh, God. Anyway.
If we've learned anything from really good horror movies, that the best people that train children, they train them best by the fear of being raped.
Yes. That is a strong... That's a strong way to get the results that
I can't
need.
Believe I'm laughing that hard right now.
You know, say for instance, you're going to teach a kid like how to play the violin. They will play the violin perfect if they're afraid they're going to get raped. So
then we get to see a little montage of Tanaka's son and Frank Dukes training, but he's really not interested in training this other guy. He's just Frank Dukes is now the punching bag for
right.
his son
right.
constantly.
Right.
But the
Who's
son,
his son is racist as fuck. By
yeah,
the way,
yeah, yeah, yeah. He calls him round eye.
Yes.
He's just
I immediately hit pause. I was like, whoa.
Document white racism.
Whoa,
right here.
Holy shit.
As soon as I heard Tanaka talk about how he's not Japanese, I almost thought he was the same character from Kill Bill when he messes with Lucy Liu. It's like, what is this half Jap American? And she's
yeah.
like, I'm
yeah.
on the table ready to take his fucking head
right,
off.
Right.
It's also worth mentioning. So nobody has ever found this guy named Tanaka who trained Frank Dukes. This is
this
as far
legendary
as anybody,
trainer.
This legendary guy who was a ninjutsu specialist. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody's ever met him.
Well, you know,
only Frank Dukes knows that he exists. As far as most people can ascertain, this guy is just a figment of Frank Dukes' wild imagination. Right.
Well, you know what his real name was?
Who's
it was
that?
Baraka.
Baraka.
And he just had the giant sword arms. He tried to hug me once, but with his sword arms, he kept cutting my shoulders.
He was a humanitarian, too.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
So,
I'm going to take in your son. I'm going to train him. I'm going to teach him how to be a badass.
So the Tanaka's son tragically dies during this, and after a long time and a lot of thinking, he decides that he will train Frank Dukes to be basically his representative in the Kumite tournament.
How the fuck did he die?
Yeah, no, it's not mentioned at all.
Like,
he's
just
like,
I'm like,
all of a sudden,
like, wait, he was just calling him racial ethnic slurs and kicking him in the nuts, and now he's just dead? What the fuck happened?
There's no explanation at all.
And this is all done by the longest 20-minute approximately,
yes.
A 20-minute memory montage.
Exactly.
Well, the deleted scene showed that they went to a Walmart on a really hot day and just left him in the car too long.
It was a different time. It was the 80s when you're allowed to leave your
fucking
car.
Fucking true American way, all right?
When you're allowed to leave your kid in a sauna on a 90-degree day.
But I looked at the time, and that memory flashback scene was literally a quarter of the fucking movie.
It is. Well, this is all the backstory. This is where you get the meat and potatoes of Frank Duke's made-up life. So, now, training under Tanaka is fucking tough, though. It is fucking tough.
Can I just mention, prior to the before the memory flashback occurs, when he comes into the home of Tanaka, pretty sure Tanaka's wife wants to fuck the older Frank.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, it's JCVD. He's
right.
Gonna,
I mean,
you want to fuck? I mean, he's a good looking dude.
So,
right?
Legit, you got poor material here. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The stepmother bangs the son. Plus, she's mature and she's Chinese. That could get a lot of hits on YouPorn because that's like 8 different search categories right there.
It's a lot of markers. Boom, boom, boom.
Huge.
Oh, hell yeah. So, training is tough, though. But and when I say tough, also made up. Now, the Black Dragon Society is a real society. Even though we don't know that Tanaka exists in it, there is videos you look up of the training for the Black Dragon Society. And it really just involves people beating the shit out of you constantly to toughen you up. So it's just it's a montage of him getting beat with kendo sticks. It's him having blind tea parties where his master just hits him in the head constantly. And he finally, it culminates in this thing where he's having a blind tea party and he gets good enough where he can catch his master trying to hit him while he's trying to serve tea
blindfolded.
But it culminates in this weird bondage scene where they quarter him, Jean-Claude Van Damme, to show off his skills that he can do a split, and it's like, I will teach you how to do a split, and they tie up his legs, they're like, they draw and quarter him, and he's so strong that Jean-Claude Van Damme is able to straighten his legs back and then break the binds that are basically opening up his asshole to fuck, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is... It's such a bizarre BDSM scene that is laid out before us.
And now we've hit another category in fucking you porn.
Yes, again.
Just keeps happening. It just gets like ding, ding, ding.
So,
Master Tanaka, my anus is loose as it's ever been before. That is good.
So here's
another tidbit. So Frank's younger self, older self, horrible casting. But Tanaka, same guy, okay?
He's never changes.
On his deathbed, looks just like he did in his youth.
Exactly.
He has perfect color in his cheeks. He's talking normally. Has a nice thick mustache.
Well, it's weird. You know, they always have the phrase black don't crack. I will tell you,
right.
Asian don't fucking crack. Yeah. Asian, you go from, you are either a young Asian man until you are like 60 years old, and then something happens at 65 where you become ninjutsu master
for like 30 or 40 years.
Yes. And then you're, it's just like, that boom. Person yeah. for the
for
rest
like
of your
50
life.
50 years, and then it goes to the next
it's
level.
Nuts.
But the mother, she does not age.
Not
and
at all.
God damn, does she want some of that fucking JCVD.
She wants some of that. She wants some of that sweet French gravy.
Somebody did not tell her, we're not filming you porn here.
Yeah.
What is the country where they actually visit their dead relatives and are they like pretending like they're weekend at Bernie's, like propping them up and everything? And I'm thinking, how long before they had done that they actually had a relative that was so old and dead looking, like
they
he
felt
might,
like
he
it.
Might still be alive. You know,
we don't know. We're just gonna prop him up.
We're
here.
Not gonna be sure. We're gonna put him in the ground, even though we're pretty sure he's not breathing next to the mirror.
Oh, that's my biggest fear right there.
He's good. So
and then also there was enough times burying people in the past so that they actually had to put bells into the grave to make sure, like, oh shit, he came back, he's still alive. So they're like screaming down there, they put a bell or a little periscope so you can see that he's not moving anymore.
The problem is somebody has to be around to hear the bell.
Right. And hence the movie The Nun.
Fucking jingling that motherfucker.
So this is the weirdest part, this backstory that I find. He passes all the tests and he's finally given a katana sword as like, you've passed all the tests, here's your katana sword. Which is a weapon he hasn't trained with
at what all.
Part of this entire thing.
None.
All he's been doing is getting
taking
the
a
shit
fucking beating.
Out of. All he's been doing is being tortured for like 4 years, and they're like, "Here's a katana sword.
Fucking
you're now a master."
Getting dildo darts thrown at his asshole.
Now you're allowed to stab people.
I kind of liken it to a guy that works in janitorial services for like 10 years, and they like they finally award him with a brush. So he doesn't have to use his hands anymore.
Oh.
Yes.
Now you will use a brush instead of your hands.
So,
thank you, Master.
He finally tells Satoshi Tanaka that he is going to Hong Kong to fight in the Kumite.
How about you?
I'm going to Hong Kong.
You're sure you want to do this?
To honor you means everything to me.
I have poured all my knowledge into you.
Are they reading like directly from the script that's just off the side of the
he's
camera?
He's poured all of his knowledge into him through his rectum.
Yes. I poured all of it into you. You are now filled
with
ninjutsu gum.
A rectum funnel.
Will you punch them all in the dick and balls? Yes, in your honor, sir.
For me.
I have taught you every way to hit the nutsack from every angle. I even taught you the backwards way where you do the fucking heel kick from behind into the balls. That was my final lesson.
My spirit fight with you. In Kumite, you'll need it.
I love you, my bastard wide-eyed son.
Round eye.
So immediately we see Frank Dukes in Hong Kong. He gets to meet the guy from Revenge of the Nerds who plays on the bus. We get to meet Ray. We also see a nosy woman who's poking around at the hotel about the Kumite. Dukes and Ray then play an arcade video game. Jeremy, do you know the name of this video game?
I think it's Karate Champ.
It is Karate Champ. Karate Champ is the first ever one-on-one fighting game that was ever created.
And 8-bits, isn't it?
And it's not a good game. It's not great.
No, it's horrible.
But it is the birthplace of many other games like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, combat that would come to follow it. So very excited. Although, the first fighting game I ever remember was if you owned the Nintendo Entertainment System and you had Double Dragon,
yes.
There was the one-on-one mode where you could pick like six different characters and fight them one-on-one. And you only had three moves. You had the combo or the run and attack. That's it. But it was still really fun. I enjoyed the fuck out of that game.
Well, wait. This movie came out in 88, and I don't know when this video game came out.
I believe 1980. I have it up right here, actually. I have that.
The
as
game
a
they
ready,
played, right? In
the game
movie.
Karate Champ came Karate out Champ. In 1984, so 4 years
prior.
Okay,
so it had been out for a while, but Frank stepped up to this game as if he'd never seen it before. I mean,
yeah.
This was, and it was all in Chinese, like all of the
yeah,
text
it's
and graphics.
Yeah, it's in Japanese, and the fact that.
Japanese or Chinese?
And it's, first of all, video games Japanese. Are still new. In this time, and it's not played with buttons, it's played with two joysticks,
right.
Where you're just like, you have to know all the moves immediately. He's good enough to beat this guy. He's never played the game before,
right.
He just knows martial arts
so well
that he can just translate it through the video game,
right.
Already
as he's going forward back y.
And not to mention he's doing it, he's playing it against a silly American who has all
yes.
ego, and he's probably coked out of his gourd, and he's a raging alcoholic. And you would think that he would immediately get pissed off, but he becomes friends because of
it. Because listen, if you whoop somebody's ass in video games, that's immediately a friendship.
Respect.
This is this is the beginning of the gamer culture that we live in today. You know, you played
started in 88.
It wasn't always online games. Sometimes it was going to a kumite, finding another dude that's into video games that also likes the same things that you like. Maybe looks like the dude from Revenge of the Nerds, and now you're a friend, right? Like that's how it works out. That's how I met Eric, honest to God.
That's how we met.
Like anybody can hit like play pool and play like an expert as soon as they try that. But talk about Star Castle, you're talking about real expert. So
they become friends, and next we see some nosy feds that are out there to basically they're trying to track down Frank Dukes and bring him back because he's too powerful of an asset. And one of the agents is none other than Academy Award winner Forrest Whitaker.
Fucking Whitaker.
Oh my gosh, Forrest
Lazy
Whitaker.
Lazy eye, Forrest Whitaker.
Always looks like he just caught a fucking nut punch to the face.
Now, before you continue, I'm just going to throw this out and say, if you had a ding button, we're going to hit another fucking category on YouPorn, because as he approaches and Mrs. Tanaka opens the door and she starts eye fucking the black man immediately. So now we've got black on Asian. So we're bam. We got another one.
So they go to talk to Sensei Tanaka. They ask him if they've seen him. They ask Mr. Tanaka if they've seen him. But they said that he's going to Hong Kong. But Sensei Tanaka's wife is no fucking snitch. And they get nothing from her. So
Nada.
So
she's like, I don't speak.
Yeah, and no speaky English.
They're like, yes, you do. You're lying to us.
So Dukes and Ray then go meet up with Lin, who's tasked with keeping them in line and out of trouble before they're about to go into the illegal street fighting thing, which I think is ridiculous. Like, what if they break a crime? They're not allowed to be in the illegal street fighting tournament you're about to have? But, okay, that just seems ridiculous to me. And then he takes them through the seedy underbelly of China outside of Hong Kong, and after a long walk through a dark alley basement, they're brought to the tournament ring.
Now, the rule number one of Fight Club is you don't fucking talk about Fight Club.
Exactly.
But goddamn, was Ray Jackson loose-lipped as a motherfucker?
Yeah, he was.
To one JCVD. I mean, he was immediately braggadocious. Hey, you want to see a fight? You're going to come to this secret fighting challenge. He wasted no time to reveal this motherfucker. And that alleyway was shitty. Now, you would think you'd have turned the corner and it would have been this, like, literally a fucking beat up door. No, you turn a corner and there's this elaborate, beautiful, like stone pillars like, with this great, nice door with marble steps. I'm like, this is not hidden at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring the stone dragons down this shitty alleyway if you don't mind.
Just walk until you find this elaborately nice opening and you're there.
So,
that alleyway was so frightening, you could have almost been in Detroit.
You could have.
So, Lynn gives the rules of the tournament to him, and then we get to meet at the signing part. I have a little audio clip here.
Okay, guys, first you can show the Black Dragon boys your invitation, then you gotta qualify and prove to them you can step onto the runway and not get killed. Got it?
It says he represents the Tanaka clan. You don't look like Tanaka.
You round eye.
Tanaka, train me. What's the hoe up?
He says Senzo Tanaka is his shidoshi.
What's the difference if Bruce Springsteen is his shidoshi?
If Senzo Tanaka is his shidoshi, then show us the dim mak.
What the hell is a dim mak? Death touch.
Oh, the death touch. So he has to go show him the death touch.
I think that's also a style of Klingon fighting.
But
the dim mak.
The check-in process is way too official.
Yeah.
Way too. And it's got these two guys, these two fucking Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah,
and they're like,
dressed
whoa,
in pajamas.
Whoa. You are too fucking white for this shit.
There's no way you know karate. Yeah. You clearly don't have a gi that's made out of silk. Like, there's no way.
How did you find us? Seriously, how did you find us?
Show us four ways to punch somebody in the crotch.
So they walk him over to a stack of bricks, which is just conveniently there in case there's ever a test for somebody from the Tanaka clan, who is apparently the only clan that can do this, to do the dim mock touch. And he asks them which brick you want me to break. And Ray stupidly says the top one because that's the easy. And then he says,
he's
no,
a fucking idiot.
Break the bottom one. Somebody else pipes up. So he goes to go break the bottom brick and takes his palm up, fucking gathers up some energy and fucking shatters the bottom brick of this stack of bricks, which is pretty amazing. And then we get to hear
the next thing that they say. Also, win the into the tournament. You also have to play guitar better than Steve Vai over there.
Yes. So he then looks over at Chong Li, our big muscly bound guy we mentioned in the first episode, our main bad guy. Looks back over at him, and he has some words for Frank Dukes.
Very good, but brick not hit back.
Which is a direct ripoff from Enter the Dragon. When fucking, you realize this is a direct ripoff from Enter the Dragon when you see Bruce Lee, there's a guy who goes and breaks a whole bunch of boards, and then Bruce Lee goes, "Bullets don't hit back." So, which is also one of the funniest moments growing up in high school. Our class clown, who was 2 years older than me, his name was Mike Fuel. Mike Fuel was in my English class in 10th grade because he was kind of retarded and he was held back and was still doing 10th grade English in his senior year English class
at age 24.
At age 24, and Mike Fuel, by the way, one of the funniest people I've ever met, and definitely an influence on my life as far as what I think is funny. He had to write a book report, and he is a very fat, red-haired gentleman. He had to weigh like 300-plus pounds. You had to write an autobiography, and his autobiography's title, which was one page long, was called "Boards Don't Hit Back."
Wow.
The Mike Fuel story.
That's incredible.
And I fucking, by the way, I standing owed it. Most of the people where we're listening to it just started clapping. It was so fucking good. God damn it, Mike Fuel. And it was basically just him saying that his life was Enter the Dragon, and I loved it so much. I loved it. It was a power move.
Sounds a lot like Frank Dukes.
Yeah, very, very much.
The
very
real
much.
Frank Dukes.
So the feds are now in Hong Kong, and they're asking the Hong Kong officials and police where Dukes is, and they want to stop Dukes from fighting in the Kumite. Back at the hotel, some Middle Eastern dude who are clearly Asian men, okay? I need to mention this. They're wearing, like, the Habji that looks like a traditional Middle Eastern garb, and we're supposed to believe they're from the Middle East. They're very Asian men. There's no there's no thing about it. And they basically want to take the reporter chick back up to have a rape party.
Oh, yeah, 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 rape party, yeah, right. And yeah, a gold tooth, a little gold tooth action.
Yes, he has a gold tooth. There's a lot of things about it that don't make any sense
Now, there's
all.
A lot of, again, 80s ownership over the female character here.
Yes, yes.
And,
but she's kind of woke. She's like, you don't own me. But he comes over. Frank Dukes says, I'm going to fix this situation real quick.
Right.
And I have a little audio clip right here of what he does.
Do you gamble?
What is bet?
What Behold is, this.
Do you gamble? What
if
is
I
bet?
If I can grab it, before you close your hand, I get the girl.
He gives him a silver coin.
I get the girl. I own this girl.
And by the way, the girl who is playing this part says, oh, this is ridiculous.
And she tries to walk away. She turns to walk away, and the two guys block her, and she just stops.
They were like, hold on. We're going to decide who rapes you. Stay here.
Yeah, right, right. And she does. Away. Like, she tries to walk away, but she doesn't really put up any sort
of
fight.
Like, I should probably find the authorities, but let's see how this plays
out. Yeah, I'm
just kind of
curious.
This guy's kind of hot.
Yeah, okay. You know, so, he's a round eye.
He hands him a silver coin and then tells him to open his hand. And he says if he can snatch the coin out
it's
of his
quarter.
Hand.
It's an American
quarter.
It's
an American quarter. It's silver. He says if he snatches it out of his hand, then he gets the girl. So
she's yours.
Call it.
Very good.
Well, you can't do this.
Just relax.
I'm going to rape you later.
Don't worry. I'm going to be the one that rapes you. It's okay. I'm beautiful.
I'm much better looking.
Unlike this Asian Middle Eastern man.
I'm a gentle lover.
Oh, geez, Frankie. I hope you know what you're doing.
I've stopped many rapes with this trick. Don't worry. Don't worry. By the way, you're with a giant man who could just stop this, right? Like, he's like, Frank, I know what you're doing here, man.
Yeah, you're making me uncomfortable.
You gave this guy the authorization to rape this woman, and you weren't.
By the way, one of the rules to this tournament is they're not allowed to fight outside the tournament. So,
otherwise,
this is his way of keeping the peace.
Yeah.
That's your lucky quarter.
Ready? Go.
So he snatches
it. You lose, American asshole.
He closes his fist and he thinks he has the quarter, but he opens it back up and he sees that the coin is now gold. He's not only snatched it, but he put a different coin in his hand. So
looks like she's mine.
She's mine.
No shit.
He owns her for a fucking quarter.
I think it would have been.
Hell yeah. What a good what a rate.
I think it would have been better if he replaced the quarter with a button. So.
That would have been cool.
And then they're dragged to hell.
So he walks off with the girl. They have a little bit of an interaction. And now it's the next morning. He wakes up with Ray, and he's doing some fucking leg splits. Which, listen, if you're getting ready for a kumite, that's the way you gotta do it. Am I right, Jeremy?
Yeah, yeah, I'm trying.
I'm trying. I'm doing my best here.
I only
here.
Did two coffees.
So he's doing leg splits. He's now ready for the kumite.
Welcome, warriors of the world. Today, you become part of a tradition that began hundreds of years ago. The kumite was first used by the Korukai, the Black Dragon Society, to measure the fighting skills and spirit of its members. Every 5 years, the best fighters in its ranks would face each other in full contact, with one winner emerging as the superior warrior, the champion. The Kokurukai has been joined by the International Fighting Arts Association as co-sponsor for this event.
I like it. It's sponsored.
I'm a rich.
Wait. It's an illegal, do you realize it's an illegal event that's sponsored?
Oh my god, I didn't even catch that.
That's so awesome.
Oh man, and I try so hard to get sponsored for our legal comedy shows.
We would like
shows.
To talk about our illegal fighting ring, sponsored by Chili's.
Sponsored by Geico. Would you guys like lower rates on your insurance?
Geico, in case when you're ready for getting your nose broken and almost dying in an illegal street fight, no mayhem like me.
Oh, yes, mayhem.
After 3 days, one fighter will prove himself to be the best. May the mightiest warrior prevail.
See if you can fight me, G-Force.
Yes. So, they immediately start out into the first fight between Sin Ling and Swan Padres, and it delivers. Okay, there's some good blood right from the beginning.
Immediate. Hey, the fucking title is Bloodsport. God damn it!
Speaking of Bloodsport, we get to hear none other than our guy Ray talk about the fight that he's seeing.
That's why they call this thing Bloodsport, kid.
And that would be our titular line!
Titular line!
Titular line! Titular line! Titular line! You know it is the time of that titular line! Titular line! Titular line! You know it is the time of that titular line!
That is incredible.
That was my titular line song I worked on yesterday.
I like it.
I'm just tired of all this traffic. I just wish we could get out of Africa.
Titular line! Jeremy, what did you think of the titular line song?
That is a home run, sir.
Inspired by you, if I can be honest.
You have gotten more metal than you have ever gone before. So
I have to give my better half of big timing comedy, Stefan Sabatich, a little bit of a shout, a little bit credit mm-hmm. here. He educated me on the word titular, so I can appreciate it.
Titular line!
Or is it titular or titular?
I thought it was titular. Titular. Like title.
Titular.
Titular.
Okay. I totally fucked it up, but okay.
I've always been a big fan of titillist balls in golf. So, titillist.
So, up next is Ray, who's going to show everybody how it's done.
Can we take a step back since we're talking about Ray here?
Yeah.
I have a little note, and this is just prior to them going to the tournament. Mr. Frank was meditating in his splits in his hotel room,
mm-hmm.
and good old Ray rolls in, drinking a beer.
Mm-hmm. He goes
all
hard.
All he does is drink fucking beer. And he's in there being a dick to Frank. He's trying to fucking meditate. He's in his zone. And he comes in. He jumps on the bed. He's like, Yo, Frank, man. He's just like pestering him, drinking the beer.
Yeah. He goes hard. I like it.
And then finally, Frank comes out of his meditative state. And he's just like, all right, I'm ready.
Yeah. I like it because
like, what the fuck?
He trained with Lambda Lambda Lamb, which means you know he knows his shit. You know what I mean?
He was sorry, you know? I took cool enough.
I'm sorry, I took a giant step back to where we were in the tournament.
So Ray goes up and he gets into his fight. He eats a shit ton of punches and offense. He has the ability to get punched, and then when he's bloodied, he goes in berserker mode and knocks the dude out, right?
So
it's also worth noting that while everybody else in the tournament has a legit type of martial art, or I use legit as in some documented
something.
Style of martial art, Ray has nothing. He's just some dude that just swings wildly and somehow wins fights, and he's just huge. There's no martial art that he actually studies or follows.
I'm having
all.
A flashback from the Karate Kid.
He's not the Karate Kid. At least the Karate Kid had kung fu. There was crane styles. There were tiger styles.
There were, but at the same rate, when Daniel-san goes to register, they're like, "What dojo?" And
Miyagi-Do.
Miyagi-Dojo. Yeah. And they're like, who the fuck is that? Like, made it up. Yeah, made it up on the fly.
That's true. I see the connotation that you made.
Got it.
There.
Okay.
I see that. So Ray wins, and then he immediately points at Chong Li and then calls him out. So fucking next up is Chong Li, the current champ from last year. He killed a man in last year's tournament. And Chong Li is up against a very Bruce Lee-looking dude, makes fucking short work of him, poses for the crowd after beating him in just 14 seconds, setting a new world record for the Kumite right there.
World record in this illegal underground
world
competition.
Record, quote-unquote world record. So the next we see up is Frank Dukes. He gets up to bat, and the guy, he is embarrassed.
Wait a second. Wasn't there some titular flexing?
There was some titular flexing, yes. There was a...
Guys, I think it's titular.
There you go. There you go. A little bit of titular line again. So,
hey, look, we're here on the Titanic.
So the guy Frank Dukes is fighting is the same guy that he embarrassed the night before by cock blocking him from raping that reporter. God
so, damn it.
He makes even shorter work of this guy, beating him in a mere 12 seconds, and Chong Li is not fucking happy about it. He even knocks out the dude's gold tooth, who was the rapist from the night before. So good showing from all our main stars. Ray's doing a good job, Chong Li is doing a good job, and so is our boy Frank Dukes.
And
now,
also a good job of the guy that the guy sitting off to the ring who gets the gold off the mat.
Yeah, he goes and picks it out of the blood. I want to address the rules, by the way. We didn't really talk about the rules.
We heard a little clip about the rules. But
right.
Yeah, go for it.
But you either get to knock him out, you get the other to submit, and I think they used the English version of saying uncle.
Yeah.
Say uncle. Or knock him off the runway. I'm sorry. I missed that little jab.
Which, by the way, everybody who gets knocked out of the ring also gets knocked out, too.
Right.
Somehow.
Oh,
Like, everybody, it's not just like a knockout where you got out. Like, no, we dominated.
Oh, no, he
was corkscrewed you into the fucking
punching
dirt.
In the balls is acceptable, but you can't just push him out of the ring and win. I mean, that would only make sense, right?
Which, by the way, how good would the sumo guy be, right? Where all you have to do is just get him
out of the ring.
You just fucking front block him all the way out.
Everybody knows that if you get thrown out of the ring like 3 or 4 feet down into that soft sand,
Honestly, I would take the sand over that hard fucking wood floor.
So next we see how the rest of the tournament goes while this song plays in the background, which is the Kumite song, which is fucking goofy as shit. This song is just this. It's just a montage.
Tonight
of like,
on Miami Vice.
Transsexual Nazi Eskimos are in your church. Are you ready for the change?
People playing highlight.
This was at the moment when somebody got kicked in the face, but Newt fucked up on the production value, and you could see there was no contact.
Yes.
And then blood gushes out of the guy's face. It's amazing.
If I just listen to the music of the song, it makes me want to drink Coors Light.
Yeah.
Coors Cutters.
Man, if I'm going to fight somebody Street Fighter style, this is the music I want to listen to.
This is like gay sex music right here.
You got to punch him in the balls! Yeah!
Kumite, Kumite, Kumite.
What was the video we were watching earlier before with the guys from Saturday Night Live?
Oh, the Lonely Island.
The Lonely Island. This is the Lonely Island type activity right here.
So the Kumite song goes off, and things are getting a little bit crazy. Monkey guy style goes forward, so does the sumo dude, and Chong Li all prevail during this montage. So next we see our inspector as one of the officials from Hong Kong tips him off to where Frank's Dukes is staying. They immediately rush over there to see if they can apprehend Dukes. They explain that Uncle Sam invested too much money into him to let him fight in this tournament. So,
by the way, do you want 50,000 volts pumped through
you? Yeah, they threatened to tase him with these ridiculous tasers that literally look like, you know, like the gun from Hellboy? Like, that's what they look like, these fucking tasers.
They're like a blunt-ended thing with a handle.
They look like a four-barrel sawed-off shotgun.
Now, here's my question. He said 50,000 volts, but because they were each holding one.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean 50,000 volts combined, or is each one 50,000 volts?
I don't know, but he eludes them by going on the queerest like chase scene I've ever seen to this to this song called Steal the Night, which I pulled a clip of the highlight of it.
He was so taunting, too. Like, he would run. It was like he was flirting with them in a very braggadocious way.
Just steal the night.
Like, he would run about 50 yards ahead, and he'd stop, and he'd be like, hi. And then he'd turn around and keep running again, and then he'd run around. It was very playful.
Literally, the entire chase scene could be a Mentos commercial. Yes! Like, really? It could be like, nothing better than life, better, better than life.
I was getting more of a double mint feel.
You for a life. Nothing gets to you, punting chess in the food. You gotta hit this guy in the balls. Fresh goes better. Mentos freshest. This goes better with Kumite. You're full of life.
Kumite. Fresh in the balls.
I love it.
All right.
That was impressive, guys.
So, it's a fucking horrible thing. It actually ends with the feds like winding up in like a pool, in like a water after he steps across a boat, and they're going
spitting water.
But they're still looking at Frank Dukes like, you got us this
you
time.
You got us good, you fucker, you.
So, that night, Frank Dukes slays the reporter lady.
Yes, he
fucking
does.
Lays the pipe and starts the tradition of seeing JCVD's bare ass. It's born in this film. You get to see his naked butt in this movie.
Here's the sad part. I was really excited to see some skin on her and got nothing of the such.
By the way, she's a beautiful woman.
She is
she's
very
a
attractive.
Smoking little bitty.
And there's a lot of 80s movies that did not have attractive women in them. And this one took the cake. And next thing I know, I'm looking at JCVD's ass. And in a very seductive way.
Honestly, if I had a choice from what I've just seen, I'd fuck JCVD's ass after that.
I think so. I bet it's toit.
He's got a big old birthday cake back
very
there.
Very tight.
I'd make sweet love to his French ass. So
I'll fight you for it.
So she asks.
French ass might as well be a woman's ass.
So she asks him to help her with the kumite. He says no, but we all know he's just gonna go follow him to the tournament at this point.
Here's the funny thing, though, is she flat out says she wants to go, and he's like, I can't do that, I can't get you in.
Mm-mm.
And then she comes back around and she basically threatens him, because she's like, well, there are these feds looking for you. And he's like, all right, what do you want? And she's like, I want into the thing. And he's like, into the fight. And he's just like, I can't do it. And she goes, you want to fuck?
Yeah. How about some more sweet reporter pussy?
Yeah, right?
I'll throw that on top of it.
And then she goes, well, we could get creative. And he goes, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next scene is you porn pegging.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a reporter. I'll fuck whoever I have to do to get the story.
So Dukes heads back to the tournament, and she sees that she is snuck in. Ray then goes and tries to break a brick, but he's not able to do it the same way. Instead, he picks one up and breaks it over his skull. That's pretty dope. Now, our first fight today is a Muay Thai guy who's clearly a white Frenchman, and he beats the living hell out of someone. Duke overcomes another weak-ass challenger, and Chong Lee ends up breaking a guy's leg Joe Theismann style. It's pretty fucking epic. He gives it like a sidekick, and his just fucking tibia is fucking poking out of his shin.
Meanwhile, the reporter is splooshing and snail trailing all over the bench.
God, she can't stop being wet in the crowd at any point.
Now, can we talk about her undercover as believable as the Holly Hobby children's books?
Uh-huh.
Because as soon as she said she was undercover, I was like, when is she going to pull out the notepad and start writing? Oh, she takes it to the next level.
Oh, yeah?
she pulls out a recorder.
Yeah, yeah. Where she was hiding that on the dress, I have no clue.
Idea. And
no
I'm sorry,
idea.
I'm probably jumping the gun on that, but
no,
I did not
fine.
Want to
no,
miss
good,
that one
good,
at all.
Good. So next we see Dukes. He then takes on the sumo wrestling guy, and we get to see the iconic scene and straight out of Ryu Dukes ninjutsu. Dukes Ryu ninjutsu. Yes, he is able to defeat the sumo guy that he can't beat by doing the split nut punch, okay? And it's not just the nut punch that we're used to where it's like split and then side punch. No, it's split
straight
in front
on.
Of him and then uppercut
up,
both
under,
of the balls
yeah.
like that. That is level, by the way, that you don't learn that day one of
no.
Ryu ninjutsu, okay?
No, no. Deep
that's,
into the pool.
That's deep into the fucking mm-hmm. cut. You're a fucking high level third stripe black brown belt before you learn the split forward uppercut. So.
Under the loincloth.
Yeah, yeah. Right up in the old testy satchel. So
the old fuzzy beanbag.
So next is the big fight between Chong Li and Ray, our big American Revenge of the Nerds hero. The fight starts off in Ray's favor. The crowd is, he's a real crowd pleaser. He's using his unorthodox fighting style where all he does is just pull axe handle slams like he's the Macho Man Randy Savage at him. He's just like, oh, I only attack with axe handle slams. And ultimately, Chong Li very easily beats the fuck out of him and then stomps his head into the mat as JCVD is trying to do the slow motion. No! Don't stomp his head into the ground. This guy I've known for 2 days is my best friend.
Now, can we note like that the tiny little guide, Vic, is holding him back?
Yes, yes. That,
the guy that weighs 90 pounds wet.
Yes, Vic Lynn is holding him back.
I
right
think
there.
He's got aviators that weigh
but
more
the
than
hard,
him.
But the hardest, we're left to believe that he's just killed Ray in front of
right,
him.
Right.
And this, and we're also supposed to believe that he's grown such an akin to Ray that
right.
this is a hurtful moment
it's
in
his
the movie.
Best friend in the whole world.
2 minutes later, we know that he's actually okay and he's just in the hospital. It's
yeah.
ridiculous. Why didn't he die in
yeah.
this scene? He
should
have killed him, right?
Should have died.
He should have died in this scene. But instead, no, he's still just unconscious in the hospital.
And he goes, it's a good thing you have a head like a rock.
Yes.
And he has to make him a promise on the hospital deathbed. He's like, will you kill at least 5 guys for me in the next tournament? Okay, I'll do it for you.
He's like the little kid getting surviving cancer.
You know, yeah. Ray, I've only known you for like 32 hours, but yes, I will do this for you. like he doesn't know this guy at all. He's an emotional attachment
yeah,
to
right,
him
right.
immediately. So he then ends up leaving, and then moments later we find out that he's taking bus rides through the city. He's having flashbacks of the knockout of his friend Ray. Like it's like, oh, I can't believe he fucked up Ray.
Well,
so
he's being
bad.
He's torn. He's yeah. deciding, is he going to continue to do this and seek revenge for his friend,
yeah,
who is lifelong friend, and that was a jab, or be like smart and feed into the vagina that he's getting now.
It's the tough decisions you got to make in life. He's even seeing Chong Li in the reflection
oh, yeah.
in the bus.
He's
when he's
totally fucked
around,
up on
you know?
On hallucinogens.
Hell yeah! Took a fistful of mushrooms. That
fucking
this,
Hong Kong man.
This American guy I play video games with is my best friend. I now see hallucinations of this guy from Enter the Dragon. I'm fucking on cloud.
Yes. While he's on that train, by the way, I want to know how much Puma paid him to wear the Puma shirt.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call.
It's
I
almost,
don't know.
It's almost as bad as being on the haunted. House ride at Disney World, and of course there's the ghost, but it's Chow Lang or
yeah.
Bald
Chow Lang instead. Yeah.
So
that was like what I think the fifth montage in this movie so
yeah,
far, and
it's a
an hour and a half long. Fifth montage.
Now he does run into the feds one more time,
oh,
and Frank
yeah.
Dukes is able to use a metal plate
yes!
to deflect the stun gun into the other guy, which makes zero sense. It's electricity, and he's holding a metal plate.
Right.
This,
it should have fucking
him,
shocked him.
But it no it. Flick, it goes off into fucking Forrest Whitaker.
Here's the best part, though. They're like way at the end of the dark and seedy alley, mm-hmm. and they're like, "You're coming with us." And he's like, "We'll see about that."
Yeah.
And then they pull in the general, the military guy, start coming at him. And as he's like walking down, he's just beating up people as he's walking down the alley. And he gets there, he deflects it, and all of a sudden they go, "All right, you win."
Yes. Yes. We're reaching the end part of this movie now. Now, next we see Chong Li take on another competitor. He quickly finishes him and ultimately kills this guy. After there, he checks literally does nothing. I like that this guy comes over to check him and does nothing to resuscitate him at all. He just is like, guy's fucking
dead.
No, he's dead. Nope. We can't.
No
there's
pulse.
No way we can save his life at this point.
The best is he was trying to feel if he was breathing. Like,
so
no pulse check.
The judges turn back to Chong Li to see if they're ashamed of what he's done. And all he does is point to Frank Deuce. He goes, "You're next." And walks out because he's such a fucking badass.
A dick.
The final battle between he and Dukes is set, but first he has to overcome one more thing. I skipped right to the final fight here. Now when Chong Li comes out, he's wearing Ray's headband around his leg,
just to point it at him, to be a real son of a bitch.
Remember that guy that was your roommate for a day? Now I have his fucking headband around my knee.
I want to point out, he calls everybody's bluffs. He's called out Janice's bluff. She said she was not going to sit and watch him get himself beat up or killed.
Yeah.
And she is there at the final fight.
That dumb bitch. God.
And she's cheering for him. And the FBI guys are cheering for him. It's ridiculous.
Now, we also see that Chong Li also hides something in his trunks. It appears to be some type of white pill. That's going to come into play
very
soon.
I thought he was going to get a blowjob, by the way.
Yeah. BJ. So they come in, they square off, and we get to hear Chong Li say this.
You break my record, now I break you.
Oh.
Like I break your friend.
Oh. And then he points at the bandana on his knee.
So the fight starts off, and Dukes comes out winning early on. It's lots of fucking sidekicks. He's fucking controlling the fight. And then all of a sudden, the hidden little white pill comes into play. He crushes it up in his hand.
I thought he was going to eat it, and it was going to be like superpower pill.
Yeah, no. Instead, he fucking misses it and throws the dust into his eyes that blinds him.
How did nobody fucking see that?
I like it. But by the way, I like that also, that they're sitting back there and they're looking at it and they're like, gotta be honest with you, not in the rule books. That's legal. It's legal. That is Kumite legal blinding powder. It's not in the rule books. We gotta let them play.
Oh my God.
I like it. It's a strong way to go.
And he starts tripping balls.
Yeah, he starts tripping balls and is getting the shit kicked out of him left and right because he can't see anything. You know, Frank Dukes is completely helpless until he finally is down on his fucking knees. He doesn't know what to do. And then he lets out this fucking monstrous scream.
With the shaky face in slow motion.
And then he starts to remember all of his training. And specifically, the fact
the
that he has to do blind tea parties was the most important of his training, is when he had to serve tea blind to his master, Tanaka. And all of a sudden, fucking Chong Li fucking winds up this monster kick to just tear his face off like he's fucking Daniel Bryan in the WWE. He winds it back, Jose Canseco style, ready to take off this motherfucker's head. And as the fucking blow is coming right to his fucking chops, he then raises his hand and catches the kick.
Yeah. Game on.
Oh, shit.
Game on.
And then basically unleashes a barrage of fucking jump kick after jump kick after jump
now
kick
wait.
After jump kick after jump kick
was,
after jump kick after jump kick after jump kick after jump kick after jump kick.
Jump kick your way to victory!
I have to say, did Chong at that moment realize, did I get my pills confused?
Yeah.
Did I actually give Frank adrenaline mixed with cocaine, mixed with steroids, mixed with Adderall?
Oh, damn it. Look, did he go up and he was just like, holy shit, he's a massive erection. I gave him the blue pill.
I gave him the wrong fucking pill. I should have took that goddamn pill.
I just blew blue chew into his fucking nostrils just a second ago.
So I counted five and I was confused. I'm like, is he doing this over and over, or are they just repeating and over-centralizing the
Roundhouse.
I think it's just, I don't know if it was that or multiple ones, but ultimately he gets on top of him and then he forces him not only to give up, but he forces him to say, I quit.
Right. Uncle.
Set!
Matek.
Set! Set! On me!
What was the word? I thought it was Mate.
It was, yeah, it was...
Ave or Ave?
No, it's I'm gay. And then now that he's gay, he can't be in the Kumite anymore, unfortunately.
Oh, God.
No.
That's the... that's
say you're gay now. I like it. The idea of the Kumite is actually just a tournament of straight men that don't think they're gay, but they really are
very
gay.
Super
and
gay.
The whole point is just to admit that you're gay to other people.
Now, did you notice that it went from a flat platform to the little like V-shaped platform?
Yeah, all of a sudden, it became extreme where you could jump off a V-shaped thing.
Right.
It made
like, there was no explanation
that?
To it other nope. than, oh, that's what he trained on. Okay, so that's going to give him the upper hand. All right, great.
Now, can't you see, Chong Li? I have the high ground. You're at a disadvantage. Give up. So he then goes back to see, he then gets awarded a katana sword. Again, a blade that means nothing to this tournament. Nobody uses the weapons. Nobody trains with it. Nobody's
no,
used a katana
has
sword.
Has nothing
just,
to do with it.
A katana sword is what you give if you're good at karate fighting, which is pretty awesome. I really love that.
You are the best programmer for computers. Yeah. You won this programming competition. Do you know what you just won? You just won yourself a D5. Bulldozer.
I would love if I just, like, if I ever became the manager of a Dairy Queen and I had an employee of the month, I would just give him a katana sword
yes.
to every employee
right.
of the month. They're like, you earned this.
Now you can chop. You can chop.
So, he then goes back to go see Ray one last time, which is a very beautiful,
super
beautiful
gay.
Moment. It's
super
pretty.
Gay.
It's a pretty gay moment, if I'm being honest with you. I thought I ripped the audio for this, but apparently I didn't.
Oh man, that's
there
like
is
great
a very
audio.
Homoerotic scene between he and them. Hold on, let me go back to my Bloodsport audio.
By
page
the way,
here.
By the way, while you look for that, can I just say
I didn't rip it? But he says, "I love you," and I love you, man. And it is the most. It is a sexy scene between those two.
Wait, while he literally has his lazy eye, he's like, "I love you," and it's all fucking crooked as shit. Like he's struggling. Can we talk about the fact that he's drinking a beer at the hospital?
Yeah, yeah. He goes so hard that he drinks beer at the hospital, too.
With blood soaking through his head wrap.
Hasn't had his bandages redressed at all. He's just still bleeding. And he's just like, I don't care. Get me another Coors. I'm ready. Feel the Rocky Mountain high.
That rocks,
dude. That rocks so hard.
Oh,
and then the last scene is just him getting on the plane with the guys. But I did find this really awkward. The agents take him back on the plane, and his girlfriend, the fucking gorgeous
smoke
reporter,
show, smoke
fucking,
show, best a, part of the movie.
She's
actually.
A 10 out of 10 beautiful woman, right? She drives all the way to like where it's loading
in a United bus.
And you think this is the scene where he runs up,
no.
embraces her? No,
no,
he just stays at the top of the steps and gives her a bow. That's it. That's the end of the fucking movie. He's just like,
no,
I'm
wait.
Sorry, bitch. All you do, he was just like, you fucked the best. Now you get a fucking respect bow.
Oh,
that's
God.
It.
Oh, and by the way, I didn't get you into the tournament. You had to slut your own way in with some
yeah,
rich guy.
Why is she so pressed over this dude that she fucked so bad? See, she wouldn't let him in the tournament. He fucking,
yeah.
he all he did was win her on a coin toss where he said,
yeah.
I get to rape you because I won this, right? Like, he's not a good guy.
She even said, I want to get into the tournament, but I also want to get to know you better.
Yes, yes.
And then,
no
like,
sense.
Fast forward, he's like, yeah, I just banged you. You're still not getting into the tournament. So, okay, hold on. He's flying commercial as fuck. There's no jetway. It's the stairway. These FBI guys are standing there waiting for him at the bottom of the steps. And they're like, well, guess he's not showing. And then all of a sudden, he's like, guys. And they turn and look at the top of the steps. He's like, are we going or what?
Yes, he's already on the speaker. I'm Frank Dukes. I'm already been in the plane. I actually flew here to get you guys.
And it's a total Three's Company, like, snaps his fingers like, oh, coming. He got us again.
Dukes, you did it again.
You got us again, you fucker.
Come on, you lazy-eyed fuck. Why aren't you looking for Frank Dukes?
But the best part is they're flying commercial and they're holding up the entire flight for Frank fucking Dukes.
It's a power move. Well, he's a big deal.
He knocked 321 out fights.
329 matches.
29.
329 matches in 3 years. Best fighter that's ever existed. And that brings us to an end of fucking Bloodsport, boys. We did it. We did the end of Bloodsport.
We powered through that.
We did it, man. And Jeremy only fell asleep near the very end of it. Your medical concerns are concerning us every day.
Didn't hear me snoring.
We're proud of you, man. You did a good job, man.
It was painful.
Eric, where can people find you at, man? Dude, where can people, like, look you up, get the shit, other than this wonderful Bloodsport episode, which, honestly, this could be a classic right here.
This is
a fucking strong episode.
Before I even plug myself, I just want to say thanks again, guys, for having me on. I'm super excited to come down here. We always have fun. It's very there's chemistry here, even though Jeremy's about to fall asleep, but I get it, dude.
You've
done the trek, man, but you're still fucking here.
I think after three or four more energy drinks, I could stay awake.
Right, but dude, you're doing it, man. You're doing what you got to do this shit that you have a passion for. So thank you for having me on. I have so much fun. You guys are going to be back on ours. I want to keep doing this. We're doing some special things. Go to BigTimingComedy.com. And we have this phone number I want people to call. It's 410-645-0709. I'm going to repeat that, 410-645-0709. And that is a hotline we have for Paco's Got Balls featuring Wendy. That's our podcast. And we are we're releasing this number to allow people to call in. If you're drinking, you're fucked up, leave us a voicemail, man. We're going to go through these. We started it.
I'm going to call it today. Dude, I'm going to leave you a VM.
Please do. And we're going through these on the podcast, and they're so much fun. It is so much fun.
All right. I'll check it out.
And it is. This is literally the fourth week we've been working on this, and it fired off really well last month. So please, 410-645-0709.
You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. That's Eric with a K, comedy with a C. The second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month. You can check that out. That's hosted by Mike Quinlan and Kimberly Callahan at the Auto Bar. Drop us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, the Stitcher, whatever platform you listen to us on. It means the world to us and costs you absolutely nothing. All the murder mystery shit I do with Justin, Rob, and Joe can be found at Die Laughing Productions. Jeremy, take us out, brother.
Do or do not. There is no kumite.
Good ending, Jerry. Love it.